Colossians chapter 3. I was thinking, praying hard about what to teach on this morning, and you know, our lives are blessed because obviously we know the Savior, but we still have to live in this world. And so I'm going to talk for a few minutes this morning on heavenly stress relief. Heavenly stress relief. We all have stress in our lives to one degree or another. And learning how to deal with that in a biblical sense, I think, is very important. Because we don't obviously want to do things that bring disrespect to our Father, our Heavenly Father, but also we do things that put ourselves in an emotional state that's not healthy. And so let's talk about heavenly stress relief this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. God's Word says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us now this morning as we open your Word to teach just for these few minutes on heavenly stress relief. Father, you've given us a path to follow that we can both attend to the needs and functions of this world and yet still maintain our Christian testimony and, Father, even our Christian mindset as so many have. So, Father, bless us now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've all, anybody never had stress? I mean, come on. We all have stress to one degree or another. And learning how to deal with that is an important aspect of our lives. We see so many young people these days that get caught up in bad things because they've got no parental leadership. And they handle the stress of that by joining a gang or by acting out. Just the other day I read that in down Warwick, there are gangs that are breaking windows in cars to steal things. Why? They probably don't have parental leadership to stop them from doing that. And yet, they need that kind of leadership. So as Christians, we have our Heavenly Father provide us with leadership. And He does so in His Word, where He says, seek those things which are above. Our eyes and our focus should be on the things of above. But yet, we still have to deal with the day-to-day activities of this world. And so the stress things that cause us stress are all around us. Our children, to one degree or another, cause us stress. We love them. And because we love them, there's a stress factor there. I think I've already told you, our oldest daughter lives, Stephanie, she lives in Los Angeles. That causes me stress. Just the fact that she lives there causes me stress. She graduated from Savannah College of Art and Design. She's an artist by trade, but she's a publisher by profession. She works in comic book publishing. Well, about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, she got laid off from her job. She'd been there for years. Penguin Harlequin Press, a new manager, came in and said, let's discuss your managed exit, which is a way of saying you're fired, you're being laid off. Now, it's not the first time her friend group, they've all been laid off to one time or another. She's the last one of her friend group get laid off. Sales are down, they laid her off. Well, that causes stress for her. It caused stress for me because I want the best for her. Started praying really, really hard. God, give her a job, give her a job, give her a job. Now, she's got a good reputation in her job set. So just yesterday, she had, have you ever heard of the Comic-Con events down in San Diego where they have all the, well, she's used to participate in those things. So she drove down to San Diego to interview with a new company, and she texted us last night. She had two interviews. They both went very, very well. They're both very enthusiastic about getting the job. In fact, one of the bosses in the new company is already talking about it's a done deal. And so God's answering prayers that she's going to get a job, and the unfortunate part is it's still in Los Angeles. But still, so that caused me a level of stress. So how did I handle it? Not very well at first. And I read this scripture and said, well, let me just start praying about it more and more all the time. God, give her a job, give her a job, give her a job. And it's working out. So that's a simple and a very complicated answer to a very simple yet complicated issue of stress. And so our children, we want them to be healthy, happy, safe. But we also make sure they don't get involved with the wrong crowd. And so we have to pray for our children and be parents and guardians to our children to make sure that they grew up well. Our youngest daughter's a teacher. When she was a youngster, she was, shall we say, a bit more enthusiastic about getting out and doing things that we didn't think she should get out. There's nothing horrible. But when she was in 8th and 9th grade, they were having a party they wanted to go to. And, okay, it was Saturday night, we're going to church tomorrow. Okay, got to be in by 9. Well, the party didn't start till 9. That is a red flag right there. No party starts at 9 o'clock, okay, and it has a good ending. So I said, she's a good girl, great grades. I said, okay, you can go, but at 10 o'clock, I'm going to come pick you up. So you be ready to leave at 10 o'clock. Ah, Dad, 10 o'clock, I'm going to be there. So at 10 o'clock, I drive up to the place, and guess what she's done? She put a lookout to find me, to look out when I showed up. So I drove up, and this girl looked at me and ran indoors and got her, and she came out. Was she happy? No. Were there a few tears? Yes. But she still went home, and we still went to church the next morning. Because no one should be out that late at that age. And so we have to exert parental influence, or some cases, guidance, to make sure that our kids don't get caught up in bad situations. There are situations, financial situations. Of course, finances are always a huge stress for a lot of us, and so for all of us to one degree or another. And so mortgage and rent, utilities, gas and food, it all is a stress for us. I know when our oldest daughter got her first job, and she said, Dad, what's FICA? And why are they taking money out of my paycheck for FICA? I said, sweetheart, it's tax. Get used to it. And she was stunned they took money out of her paycheck for something called FICA, which is Federal Income Contributions Assessment. And so that caused her some stress, but you have to learn to deal with financial stress. And you say, well, if I could only win the lottery, my life would be solved, right? If I don't be rich, my life would be solved, right? Well, here are some examples of people that won the lottery in the past. And these are real-life examples. In 2002, a couple won $314 million in a lottery. In the next few years, his wife left him. His house burned down. He ran afoul of the law. He lost his daughter to cancer and a granddaughter to drugs. Within 5 years, he was broke. That happens. Money is not the answer. Money is an avenue. Money is a tool, but it's not the answer. One couple won $2.19 million. He decided he wanted to be a rock star. He spent big bucks for his band to release an album. They purchased exotic cars, expensive house, designer clothes and accessories, and a pricey private school for their daughter. In the end, the couple was left with less than $10. Money's not the answer. And 5 years after winning $27 million, this couple was left penniless and living in a storage shed because they spent their money on high-end cars, mansions, and a plane. So money's not the answer to stress. In many cases, money causes more stress than it relieves. And so we as Christians are to look to our Heavenly Father to help us relieve this stress. And is money always the answer He provides to us? No. And we'll get into that in a moment when we talk about Job and what he went through. But don't ask for money as a stress reliever, because God has His plan for us. And if you do have a lot of money, come and see me after the service is over with. So I can help you with that. But so money is not the answer. So another stress that causes Christians problems is our health, of course. We all have, to one degree, another health issues. I will tell you, I will admit to you, I am not 39 anymore. I'm not 49 anymore. I'm not 59 anymore. And so as you get a little older, things start hurting that never hurt before. And so when I was in my 20s, I hyperextended this right knee twice in a span of 3 years playing basketball. I had no business playing basketball, but I did, and hurt my knee twice. And I was in the Air Force, and the Air Force doctors did what? Gave me ibuprofen and crutches. That was all they gave me. No x-rays, no physical therapy, ibuprofen and crutches. My knee was the size of a basketball, both times. And in my 20s, both times it healed up, both times I went back to running and activities, everything was fine. Then I hit my 40s, and my knee said, I'm here, pay attention to me. I'm going to hurt you, and it did. And I've always liked to run outdoors, and I've got to the point where I went to a doctor, and he says, quit running outdoors, always wear a brace, so you can run on a treadmill. Okay, I can do that. So for the next 20 years, I run on a treadmill with a brace, or two, or three on my knee. About 3 years ago, even on a treadmill, my knee was hurting. It was hurting. I went to the doctor again. He took an x-ray, and he said, never run again. Really? That's your best medical advice to me. Never run again. Not, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. He said, never run again. Okay? So I got introduced to something called the elliptical, which isn't the same as running, but at least it's an exercise. So I started exercising. So here recently, I've dropped a few pounds over the last few months. My wife and I are on a weight loss journey. We've lost a little weight. I decided to go running again. Don't tell my doctor. Okay? I run on the treadmill twice in the last couple of weeks. 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 2 or 3 miles. It felt great to run again. And my knee is still there, but it doesn't hurt as bad. So that I want to be able to run. Can I go run like I used to? No, because I'm getting older. And I don't like that. But that's the stress we have to deal with as our physical health adjusts to our relative age. And so many of you have far more worse health problems than that. And so health can cause stress in our lives. A big stress in my life is driving. Have you seen many people drive these days? Goodness. I have to go to Suffolk twice a week for my job, and I wonder what the prize is for first place, because they're all driving like they're racing. And it's insane. And I've almost been hit several times just driving to Suffolk. And so I've learned not to look in my rearview mirror anymore, because it causes me too much stress, said the driver who's driven more miles than I ever will. Because I'm looking in the rearview mirror to try to see what those guys are doing behind me, and I'm not looking in front of me, and I just quit looking in the rearview mirror. Kind of an antidote for life, isn't it? Quit looking in the rearview mirror, always look ahead. And so driving caused me a lot of stress just going back and forth to Suffolk. Work can create a lot of stress. Hello? Work, I think the definition of work is stress. And so, can you imagine police officers? My wife and I have been privileged to join something called, to take a class called Citizens Police Academy through Newport News Police. It's an 8-week course, one day a week. They teach you everything about the police activity that they can. Everything from the drugs, the abuse, how they arrest people, use of force, tasers, the use of weapons, everything, an 8-week course. They learn a lot about it. Once you graduate, you can therefore be qualified to help them with training exercises. We've been victims many times in training exercises. And you can do something called a use of force review board. The use of force review board is a great initiative by Chief Drew, police chief, in which they have a 9-member board review every use of force every month by the Newport News Police, excluding shootings. That's different. But every time an officer puts his hands on somebody, they review that use of force to make sure it's within policy. And policy of use of force is one of the things we get trained on. The group is made up of 9 members. 5 are civilians. Only 4 are officers. Does that tell you how much trust the chief puts in his civilians? They can outvote the officers. You have to be a CPA graduate to do that. I've done 6 or 7 or 8. Jackie's done 6 or 7. And the stress those officers go through when they arrive at a scene, they have no idea what's going on. And the one thing that causes the most stress is domestic abuse calls, because you have no idea what you're going to run into with domestic abuse. And I've seen the most hideous treatment of police officers by people, drunk, high, angry, calling them vicious names, horrible names, and the point to where they start fighting and the officer has to put hands on. And they have to go through that. And then they have to go home to their family with maybe the air conditioner quit or the car broke or the mortgage is late. That stress is amazing. So we must pray for our police and first responders. Imagine firemen and paramedics that go to horrible accidents and see people in all kinds of distress. And they have to go home and deal with the other life stresses. And so we should pray for them day to day. And of course, the stress of military members do have to deploy, have to work 24/7, 365, no matter what the holiday is. And I remember the morning of 9/11. You all remember 9/11. I was working at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in North Carolina. An intelligence shop. I know intelligence and me, you don't apply the two, but I worked in intelligence. And the morning of 9/11, our officer in charge, a major, was gone. The captain who was next in charge was gone. And that left me. And my job was to brief the entire wing staff, the brigadier general, all the colonels on what happened on 9/11. And this is 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, there were things that happened early. My job was to prepare a brief and give it to them at 11 o'clock in the morning. A little stressful? Yeah, you could say that. Especially since the same morning, one of my airmen who'd been caught DUI had to meet the wing commander in his dress uniform. That was the policy if you got caught. You had to meet the wing commander at 8 o'clock in the morning in your dress uniform to explain how stupid you were to be driving drunk. Guess who had to go with him? In my dress blues. And the squadron commander in his dress blues. So at 8 o'clock, I'm standing in front of the brigadier general. To his credit, he never looked at us. He just talked to the airmen the entire time. But at 8 o'clock, I'm standing in my dress blues in front of the Brigadier General. At 11 o'clock, I'm standing in my dress blues without the jacket in front of the Brigadier General explaining 9/11. We didn't know whether they were going to try to attack our base. We didn't know what was going on. Stressful. And that's a unique situation. But it happens all the time. I spent 6 months in Qatar, as I said. Back when the United States bombed Iran a few weeks ago, guess who they shot missiles at? The base in Qatar, where I'd been stationed. And so we thought we may get some missiles too at one point when I was there, but it didn't happen. So our military members have to deal with that stress at work and then have to go home with their families. And so we must pray for our military members as well because of the stress. What about our pastor? What kind of stress do you think our pastor has? I mean, It's His calling. He loves it. He wants to hear from us, but He hears every day the needs, wants, prayers from all of us. And some of them are just very, very stress-causing. Tell Him. He wants to know, but it causes Him stress, of course, and He prays. And then He has His own family, His own wife's health issues, traveling. He has to deal with a lot of stress. And so, please, let's pray for all of our pastoral staff. Pastor Carol, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor James, you have to pray for him because he's tall. And he needs special prayers because he's so tall. He has to deal with... And Pastor Jonathan, he needs special prayers. He's dealing with the youth all the time and all the issues that they have. But he has a special need for prayer because he's so charming and good-looking. And it runs in the family. Right, sir? It's heretical. Or hysterical. I'm not sure which. But imagine dealing with youth all the time and what they bring to you in terms of needs and what they have to face all the time. So our pastoral staff requires special prayer. And so we must pray for them every day. If you read the news, you're dealing with stress. Here are some examples of stress in national news lately. At least 28 were injured in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago after a driver rammed into a crowd outside of a bar at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Just got kicked out of the bar, got mad, got in his car, and just ran people down. 28 people were injured. Fraudsters stole $250 million from hungry kids to buy luxury cars and mansions using a COVID-19 pandemic fund. Got the money from the government, spent it on themselves. Put all these news releases out saying they were feeding kids. They were just feeding themselves. What happened to those kids who needed the money, who needed the food? They didn't get it. Local stress. A 17-year-old boy was shot and killed on West 31st Street in Norfolk last week. 17-year-old. Lightning caused a home fire in Suffolk. Family didn't do anything wrong. Just lightning hit their house. A 56-year-old man was charged with attempted kidnapping and assault of a 7-year-old boy at Great Wolf's Lodge a few weeks ago. So if you read the news and read these articles, obviously it causes us stress if we focus too much on it. Our pastor's widow, Mrs. Lyons, we went to York Baptist for years, and Pastor Lyons is a great, great pastor, preacher. When he passed away about 7 years ago, we kept up, of course, with Mrs. Lyons, and she's now living with her daughter. She's happy. But I talked to her at least twice a week because she's such a lovely lady. And I asked her, says, how's it going? She says, I don't read the news. I don't watch the news. I said, good. She's 82 or 3 or 4. She doesn't need to see the news. She doesn't need to bring that to herself. But what she does watch are YouTube videos of kitty cats. And she didn't know how she found them. Came up with function. And it gives her so much pleasure and so much joy to watch kitty cats. And so I said, watch all the kitty cats you want. It's a stress relieving. So she's a special person. So if you want to watch kitty cats, you can. It's a fun thing to do. So God says, seek those things which are above, not focusing on those things. Now, we have to deal with these things to some degree. Just that's life. But not focusing on those things which cause stress here below. Turning those things over to God. Who in the Bible, in the Old Testament, I'll say in the entire Bible, who in the entire Bible you think has the most stress other than Jesus himself? You could say Moses, leading the people of Israel. Well, that's stressful. You could say Samson, at the end of his life, what he went through, very stressful. I think it's Job. What Job went through is extremely stressful. And so let's examine just for a few minutes what Job went through. Job, chapter 1, verse 1, defines who Job was. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Perfect doesn't mean sinless. It just means in the sight of his fellows, he was an upright person. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born in him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Job had a sterling reputation. He had a lot of things. He was rich, and he was a family man. More than that, he was a godly man. Verse 5 says, And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone, this was his children having a party, as children do. And after the party was over, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, arose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Godly man. You look at Job and you say, he's done everything correct. He has honored God. God has blessed him with possessions and a great reputation. And then who shows up on the scene? Satan comes walking by. And God says, look at my servant Job. And Satan says, I can make him turn on you in a heartbeat. Just take away his possessions. And so in one day, he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost all of his livestock. He lost his servants. All in one day. And yet, this was his response. Job 1:20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Which of us would do that if we lost everything we owned in a single day, especially our family members? That's a lot of gumption right there. That's a lot of fortitude to be able to do that. But he did it. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a great testimony. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I wish I could say that about everything that's happened to me, but it's a great testimony. So then Satan came back and said, yeah, but if you did this, he'd curse you to your face. And so then he was covered by boils, and then his wife turned on him and told him to curse God and die. Now, I'm not going to get into wives. Amen? Amen, yeah, because I've been married 41 years. I like to stay married at least another 41. But regardless of wives or husbands, family stress is real stress. And we can have disagreements. We can have things that cause stress in our family life. My wife is perfect. My wife is perfect. Yeah, it's written right there. My wife is perfect. Just what she wrote.
Just like I wrote it.
But seriously, my wife is a, if you don't mind me saying so, is a no-drama mama. She just doesn't have drama in her life. Now, I'm just saying she doesn't. 41 years we've had, I think, two disagreements. Both of them are my fault, of course. But if I get snippy, and I get snippy, you get in mood sometimes, she just leaves me alone. And it's tough to argue by yourself. And so and it works out wonderfully for us. And so, and I love to joke and kid around, and she throws it back. We just have great fun. But sometimes family stress can be the worst because you live with it every single day. And so we have to address that in a godly fashion. Pray with each other. Ask the pastor for assistance. Whatever. But talk these things through to find out what's causing stress and then address it to relieve that stress because nobody needs that kind of stress. There's plenty of other ways to get it rather than getting it at home. So by all means, talk to your spouse and work this out because we don't need this in our lives. But even after all this, after he was covered by boils, his wife turned on him, Job said, then he said to her, speaking to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And shall we not receive evil? He's acknowledging that God can both give and take away. And in all this did not Job sin with his lips. So after all this happened, Job has still not turned his back on God yet. And then his friends show up. Be careful who your friends are. His friends show up. We got Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu. They show up. They make a total of 12 speeches to him, telling him how foolish he is, how his problems are because of his own sin, how he should curse God. Over and over and over again, they just pile on to him. That's tough when your friends turn on you. I know I've had a situation where friends I thought were friends really weren't friends, and you have to be careful about that. But it hurts you personally when somebody you think that you trust as a friend does that to you. And he had four of them at the same time, just bombarding with speeches. You read these speeches, they're not nice. All on he, it's his fault, his children have sinned, he's caused all this, he deserves it. And it caused a lot of problems. And then never listen to the wisdom of the world. It's never good for us. We always should listen to God's wisdom. And so be careful who your friends are. So at the end of all this, Job is just, he's down. He's just almost defeated. And then God speaks to him. And he gives him 70 where were yous. I love that. Where were you? 70 times. He says, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I laid the measures thereof? Whereupon, I love this one. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? He locks earth down. And how do you know that happens? And so God, in a very succinct way, tells Job, I created everything, trust in me, and everything will be okay. And Job, of course, is now He repents of even his own doubt, however light it was. Job chapter 42, verse 1. The Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. I love that. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. There is a man that got it, understood it. Despite all that had happened to him, he knew that his salvation, both eternal and on this earth, relied in God. And he repented. Yes, we sin. That's our sin nature. We can't help but sin. Even if we don't do things we should be doing, that's a sin. Doing things we shouldn't be doing is a sin. Bad thoughts, bad deeds, all these are sins. All we can do is ask God to forgive us and not repeat those sins. And so Job says, I repent. And he did a wonderful job of explaining to that. So what happened after Job repented? Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, which he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. God says, you are faithful. I'm going to give you back what you lost. That's a great reminder. And I think that is an archetype of heaven, if you think about it. This earthly life of ours can be full of stress and bad things. But what happens when we die? He's going to restore things to us we never imagined having before in terms of heaven. And if you ever want to have a stress-relieving moment, take 10 minutes, get in a quiet spot, and think about heaven. Just think about heaven, what it's going to be like. We sometimes think of heaven, oh, it's a real place, my friends, as real as this podium. We must think about that. And think about all that we're going to see. Of course, the first thing we're going to see is our Savior. What a great, and that line will be long, but we'll have plenty of time to see our Savior, to see the marks in his hands from the nails, to see the scar on his side from the sword, to know that he did that for us. And then after that, all your friends and family that were saved will be there. Now, I've written several things that you'll never see this in heaven or never hear this in heaven. What's your name again? Because when we see Jesus, we should be like him because we'll see him as he is. Does Jesus know everybody? Well, of course he does. So you'll know everybody. There's Moses, there's David, there's Samson. Nice haircut, Samson. You'll know everybody. There'll be no strangers in heaven. What else? No name tags in heaven. My name is, no. You'll know everybody. And so God provides that. So take 10 minutes one day and just sit down and go, what is heaven really going to be like for me in our spiritual bodies? We'll be able to move around and see people, and we'll go to ask them, David, how did that work? Moses, how dry was that ground when you crossed the Red Sea? Oh, it was bone dry. And you'll be able to talk to them and hear their stories and interface. It'll be a wonderful time. So when you get that stress moment, find a quiet spot, take 10 minutes, and just think about heaven. And Revelations tells us about heaven. There's a lot of verses tell us about heaven it's going to be. So focus on what we have before us, not things on the earth. And that will help us with our stress relief. So in our text, God tells us not to focus on things of the earth, but on heavenly things. If you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1 again, excuse me, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. In this earth, we practically are dead in terms of servicing this earth. Our relations are with God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So then, are we to ignore what's happening around us? Well, of course not. We can't. And we really shouldn't to some degree. We should learn, however, not to focus on them to the point where it causes too much stress. Learn to put things aside. I read articles and I go, I probably shouldn't think about that because it's too depressing. You hear about the sad news, like a missing child. You get those alerts on your phone sometimes of a missing child. There's nothing more tragic than a missing child. The flood in Texas a few weeks ago was a tragic event. And you can focus on that and go, why did that happen? And it can bring you down. But we should learn to put those things, okay, that's in God's hands. I trust you with it, Father, and I'm just not going to let it, depress me. We care about those things around us, friends and our neighbors, and we should pray for them. We should try to help them. We go to Mission Barbecue every Saturday for lunch. It's a great place to go eat. Great, they support first responders and military. It's a great place. We love to go there every Saturday. and there's a young man there who is a server, and we talked to him last week, not this Saturday, let's say before last. Great guy. He said, yeah, he told us, he said, you know, girl I was dating that I actually got engaged to, we broke off the engagement, and she tried to kill herself. She OD'd on pills. He said, you pray for her? Yeah. We'll pray for you, too. He said, she's very religious, which is what that really means. He said, but I'm not. Okay. So I said, you need to worry about yourself, too. Trust in Christ is the only thing you need to worry about. Everything else is secondary. We told him that. But he was concerned about his former girlfriend attempting to commit suicide. And we hear that. And we go, and we can see how it had affected him. And he's a cheerful, happy-go-lucky guy. And he was down by that. And so we pray. And we actually prayed right then and there. Jackie, let's pray right now. We prayed right then for her and for him too. We saw him again yesterday. He seemed to be a little perkier, a little better. But we continue to pray for him. Those things we hear can bring us down if we focus too much on it. Just this morning I heard, last night, 12:15 this morning over off Hampton Center Parkway. Man sitting in his car was shot multiple times. No details. Don't know why. Gang-related, robbery, don't know. But, you know, what was he doing? Why would somebody want to shoot him out there? I go by there all the time over there by the Amazon warehouse, Enterprise Parkway. Just shot him. Now, we can do things to avoid that, like not being in our cars at 12:15 in the morning, unless you had to be there. Maybe you worked there. Don't know. But we can certainly avoid some of those things. But we hear about those things. We go, what's happening to our city, our country? There was an article about on Warwick, apartment complex down in Warwick. They were breaking the windows out of all the cars to try to rob them. I don't want my windows broken out of my car. I just replaced my windshield 2 weeks ago. I don't want to get broken out again. This was a rock that did it. But people that do that, and it causes them stress to know that people are out there doing that. So we've got to turn those things and say, God, please protect our property, protect our friends, protect our neighbors from this kind of stuff. We talked about, they did cancel the police safety event yesterday because of the heat. But every now and then, the Newport News Police have an event where they will etch your VIN number on your catalytic converter. And they will spray paint it. Catalytic converter theft is a huge problem. And what is, there are precious metals in a catalytic converter, palladium and some other stuff, that's pretty valuable. So the thieves just have a little chop saw, they crawl in your car, zip, zip, it's gone in 5 minutes. They take it to somebody, they sell it to them for a couple hundred dollars, which they will use for whatever purpose they're using it for. The middleman then takes the precious metals out and sells those and makes even more money. It's a thriving business. Guess who they like to hit the most? Church buses and church vans and trucks that are high up because it's easy to get under them. And some of the trucks, I think Pastor Carroll said it happened to them a couple years ago here, they stole. And there were some of the newer vehicles had multiple catalytic converters on them, two, sometimes three, even sometimes four. And he said they had two, and they took both of them off the church bus and sold them. And so the CPA helps the Newport News Police do those events. We go out there, and they spray paint it a color of the city, and the color is irrelevant, and they etch the VIN number on there. So when a crook crawls under the ceiling, he sees it's been tagged. He knows he can't sell it. There's no reason to even take it because they can't sell it. And so the word has gotten out. We did this. This is the third year. And at the beginning of this year, we were told the catalytic converter theft Newport News is down 60% since they started the program. So you can do things to help yourself relieve stress by taking those kind of preventative actions to protect your property. And that's a great way of doing it. We have the next one's in September. I'll try to let you know when we have it again. And I'm going to try to get the pastors even bring the church vans and buses out there to get them done so to help prevent that kind of theft. So God gives us the knowledge and he gives us the experience to take actions to help preclude us from having stressful events when we don't need them. And that's one case. So we can't ignore what's going on around us, but we shouldn't focus on it. And by all means, don't get caught up in the news. Just don't. It's just too depressing to read the news all that much and get caught up in it. Yes, you want to be concerned about what's going on. I spent 22 years in intelligence. My job was to understand what's going on. I would read some of these intelligence reports and get depressed about what they're doing in the Middle East, what they're doing in Africa, what they're doing to people, and I have to brief it. It's depressing. But our day-to-day news has just gotten worse and worse over the last 20, 30 years. Anybody remember Walter Cronkite? I was a kid. I was a kid. Watching Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite would come on the evening news and he would simply say, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. That was it. Now, they come on the news and they explain to you what happened and why it's so bad for everybody. Why? Because in Walter Cronkite's day, and I read an article on this, the news did not make money for the networks. They lost money on news. They just did it to provide news. They made their money up on their shows. And then CNN was born. And when CNN first started, CNN was fine. And 24-hour news, and they made money at it. And the other network said, whoa, we can make money on news. So they started putting more in the news broadcast. Well, just saying this happened, this happened, this happened, didn't get a lot of interest, right? Then they started editorializing on everything that happened. This happened, this is what it means to you, this is what it means to you, this is what it means to you. And so, and it's just gotten worse and worse. So understand that how news is presented, it's presented to gain attention. If you're online, every click, they get a nickel or something for every click. If you're on the network, you see it, they're getting advertising dollars for that. And so they change the news, they package the news to gain attention. And they'll say, you'll never know what happened now. And you go, after the commercial will tell you. Oh, okay. So you got to come back. You got to watch their commercial come back. So there's a joke where a pessimist says the glass is half empty. The optimist says the glass is half full. A journalist says, you won't believe what's in this glass. What blood type are news reporters? Typo negative. And the news article says a large meteor will hit and destroy the earth in 2 weeks. Women and children will be most likely affected. They package the news to gain attention. And so we must understand that. So their profit comes from clicks and watching, especially if you're online. Local news media companies' digital revenue rose 41.6% in the last 2 years from people watching. And now the articles you see are going, worst thing ever, click here to see. And you click on it, it's like nothing really irrelevant. They just want you to click to get your attention. So be careful when you're watching those news. It's often presented primarily to gain attention, as I said before. Here is two actual headlines on the internet about exactly the same event that happened with a passenger airliner. The first one says, quote, terror in the skies. Passengers scream as flight plummets thousands of feet. That was the article headline. The same event, another news agency said, quote, pilot safety lands flight after mechanical issue, no injuries reported. Same exact event. So you see how they're managing their headlines to gain attention, to get your attention, to clicks or watch, when nothing really happened that was that bad. That's the news today. There are three major attributes of news reporting. Number one, it's distressing. It's intended to be distressing. It's intended to get your attention by depressing you and distressing you. I mean, you see the news coverage of the Texas floods. Horrifying, just terrible, just over and over and over again, just trying to distress you. Number two, it's disingenuous. Just like the articles I read, they're not actually telling you the entire truth. They're telling you what they want you to know in a way that will gain your attention, gain your clicks, gain your looking at their news broadcast. And number three, it's distracting. They say things that aren't really. Here's a prime example. Migration versus illegal migration. Immigrants versus illegal immigrants. They've now conflated those terms. Well, they say, well, so-and-so is against all immigrants. No, they're against illegal immigrants. But you don't say that because you want to be disingenuous. You want to get people on your side. So be very careful what you hear on news because it's not always the exact truth. It's what they want you to know. So here, you ever hear good news anymore? It's a rarity to hear good news. You know this happened a few weeks ago? 31 workers escaped unharmed from a recent tunnel collapse in L.A. They were digging a tunnel, an underground tunnel. The tunnel collapsed. All 31 got out alive. Didn't make the headlines. Why? Nobody was killed. Flint, Michigan, which has had a huge problem over the last 50 years with lead in their pipes and getting lead in the water, which causes all kinds of cancers. Flint, Michigan reported replacing 11,000 lead pipes, concluding active's decade-long effort to secure clean water. That didn't headline anybody's news. A Coast Guard, talk about the floods in Texas, a Coast Guard rescue swimmer has been hailed as a hero after rescuing 165 people from the floods. That didn't start the headlines. All you heard about was how many kids were killed, not how this hero rescued 165 people. And so that's why news can reach out and depress us. Now, there's also social media. Years ago when our kids went to college, we joined Facebook to keep in contact with our kids. Over the years, people started joining us and friending us, and before you know it, there was some really vile stuff going on in Facebook. To the point we just canceled our Facebook. We haven't had Facebook for years. We have the church Facebook now. We have Newport News Facebook. We're not Facebook users. Facebook allows anonymous people to say the most vile things about you. Same thing with X, which used to be Twitter, TikTok. All these social media sites can really just distress you by saying the most mean and vile. We had mean things said about us on Facebook, but we canceled it. People don't even know us. But as we congratulate our daughter on something, and say something very, very mean to us. So we just cancel that out. So be careful about that, especially for your children. They say that TikTok has exposed kids to suicide and self-harm content. They have these challenges. The latest one is the door kick, where you have a challenge. You have to go up and you have to have an airsoft rifle, which looks like a weapon, right? You have to have a mask on, and in the middle of the night, you kick somebody's front door, and then you run off. Now, when I was a kid, we would just knock on doors and run. That was bad enough. But they're kicking on doors. Well, I mean, if I've got a weapon, and I do, and you kick on my door, I don't know what's going on. You could get shot doing that. And that's what they're, and they want you to kick on as many doors as you can. Film yourself doing it. So you answer this TikTok challenge. Well, that's dangerous. But that's what they're doing. Cyberbullying is a real thing, where kids join these groups and stuff, and all of a sudden somebody starts really saying bad things about somebody, and they cyberbully them, and people have committed suicide over this. And so we've got to be careful what our kids are watching, what they do. Kids with unrealistic beauty standards, where they have image filters, and they retouch their photos, and make themselves look gorgeous, all this other stuff, and they go out in public, and somebody says, that's not how you look. Your picture is my, that's not. And they put pressure on them to do that, and it creates the kind of pressure they don't need. And then sleep deprivation. Kids stay up all night playing these. I bought a PS5 a few weeks ago. I have no idea why. Anybody want my PS? Anyway, I try to find a game I could play just to, you know. They're all shooting this and shooting that and stabbing this and killing that. And I mean, it's just games now are all about hurting other people, at least by and large. I mean, even checkers, you're probably killing the other checkers. But that's what the gaming is now, and our kids are doing that, and they're getting exposed to that, and they're dehumanizing violence, and they're de-emphasizing violence, and so it has a harmful effect on our children. So we should help our children avoid those kinds of things. Now, lastly, scammers. I have a huge, huge thing about scammers because I've seen it happen, and it's happened to a family member. Scammers are making billions around the world scamming, especially older people. And here's what they'll do. They'll email you, and they'll say, well, your Norton antivirus software has expired, and you got charged $200 to renew it. Do you want to keep that charge, or do you want it refunded? You charge me money? Yes, I want my money back. So call this number. So you call the number. The guy says, by the way, he has always had an Indian accent. I'm not being racist. That's a fact. It's mainly coming from India. Indian accent. His name is Mark James. No, it's not, but that's the name he's using, Mark James. And he says, well, here's what we have to do to get you want your money back? Yes, here's what we do. Download this software called AnyDesk, which is software that allows them to have unfettered activity to your computer. You download the software, you install it. Then he says, open up your bank account, your online bank account. Now that person has unfettered access to your bank account. Then he says, here's a refund form. Type in, you know, whatever the number, 280.00, $280. Type that in. That's the amount of money that we're going to give you back. So you type in 280.00. Then your screen goes blank. He removes the zero and makes it 2,800 or 28,000 because he's looked in your bank account. He knows how much money you have in your bank account, so he knows how much to put in there. So if you got $100,000, he'll put $90,000. You overpaid him. Then he comes back and says, oh, you've made a mistake. You've typed in the wrong number. That money's already been deposited in your bank account. I'm going to lose my job. My kids are going to go hungry. You've got to give me that money back. And we can't take it out of your bank account. That's against the rules. So you have to mail us gift cards. Or you have to actually get cash and put it in tinfoil so they can't scan it and mail it to us. This happens every day around the world, predominantly in the United States. And people fall for it because they don't want to get in trouble. And old folks, retired people, are losing their life savings. People have lost over $100,000 this way. So if anybody ever sends you an email or scams you and says you paid Norton, but no, ignore it. I've got this week. May I read this to you? I got this email. Guess who it's from? The director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Cass Patel. The FBI director sent me an email. Red flag. Yeah. official letter from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, Cash Patel, Executive Director of FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Washington, D.C. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, through our intelligence monitoring network, has discovered that the transaction that the bank contacted you previously was legal. Recently, the fund has been legally approved to be paid to you via ATM card. So we, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Washington, D.C., in conjunction with the United Nations Financial Department, have investigated through our monitoring network regarding your payment of $12.5 million. You have the legitimate right to complete your transaction, to claim your fund of U.S. $12.5 million. Well, get out of my way. We're going to be rich. Because of so much scam on the internet nowadays, one red flag is poor English. The Federal Bureau of Investigation decided to contact the delivery company, courier company service for them to give us the procedures on how to send this money to you without any further complaint or delay. We just got information from ATM card payment office that they have loaded your $12.5 million into an ATM card and will be submitted to the delivery company service for immediate delivery to your home address as soon as you send their required fee. All right? And they give examples of people that got money, of course, it's all fake. So they give me three delivery fee options. FedEx, $295. DHL Courier, $255. UPS Express, $197. If I send them that money, they're going to send me an ATM card with $12.5 million on it. People do this because $295 isn't that much when you think about it. And somebody goes, this could really be real. And they send them. If one in 100 of us fall for this, they're making money because it didn't cost them anything to type up an email. The next line says, you are hereby required to advise the ATM card payment officer on your parcel delivery option by filling out the required form. That required number, a required word is on purpose. The other things they do, they'll say they're the Social Security office. And if you don't do this, you're going to lose your Social Security benefits, which is scary. Or they say from some federal office, some federal agency, if you don't do this, if you don't fill out this form, you're going to do it. Scammers are huge. There's websites I've read where how much money they take is just outrageous. According to the FBI, over $27 billion was lost worldwide to internet scammers over the past 5 years alone. There have been 3.26 million complaints related to these scams reported to the FBI. Those are just ones who took time to report it. In 2024 alone, Americans lost $16.6 billion to online scams. Investment scams are particularly those involving cryptocurrency, which is another red flag. And $6.5 billion in losses. So this happens. So don't fall for these scams. Please don't do this. If it sounds too good to be true, it's because it is. The different kind of scams. Phishing is where they try to get your data online and use it against you. Online shopping scams where you try to buy things that aren't there. Any kind of advanced fee fraud like paying for an ATM card. And then tech support scams. Your computer has a virus. We've detected it. Give us access to your computer. We're going to clean your computer up. And what are they doing? They're accessing all your data, and they're giving it to all the other scammers so they can, and they've been people that have proven this. There's a guy online I follow who does this, and he reverses it on them. He's got a great firewall. He sets up all these fake bank accounts. He's got all this money in it. They see that. Their eyes get big. How are we going to do this together? In the meantime, he's in there taking their files out, and they can find people that they've scammed, and he contacts them and tells them. He's even stopped scams in progress by interrupting and stopping them, and he's now getting assistance from the federal government. So these things happen. So just be avoiding these things. If you have a question, ask somebody. Don't fall for these things. And that causes stress. If you lose your life savings over this, you imagine what that does to you. So avoid this kind of stuff. So stress is avoidable. But it can be reduced if we listen to God's word. So what are we supposed to do? Of course, pray. Our first answer to all of life's problems is to pray. Matthew 7:7 sounds familiar because we talked about it a couple Wednesdays ago. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seeking, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So God equips us with the tools to combat stress. So how can we do that? It's like, it's there in the Bible. And the analogy I like to use is, you get a wound and you cut your arm off, and you've got a tourniquet, but you don't use it. You got the tool, but you don't use it. Not doing you any good. So God gives us a tourniquet. He wants us to apply it. And that's his word. And so pray, and God will meet our needs. We should pray for the protection of our community against evildoers, people breaking windows, people stealing things. We should pray for God's protection of those who govern us, Should we pray for our country? Yes. We should pray for our leaders. Absolutely. We pray that God puts our country in His, our country is governed according to His rules and what He wants us to do. And where possible, we should work to improve our community. Get involved if you can. Food banks, clothes donations, blood donations. We talked about the CPA, police, fire departments. All have training things you can do to help them. And of course, exercise our constitutional right to vote. Does God want us to vote? Of course He does. Because God created all the governments. So Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Wheresoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So yes, God says, vote, get involved in government to whatever extent you can, because God created government. It's from His divine authority. He established a purpose of it. He also says government's an absolute, because we still have to do what God says in His Word. So if there's a conflict, we follow God's Word. But we still should be doing what the government says as much as we can. So when governments stray from where they should, the biblical guideline says, for He is the minister for God, for thee to good. But if thou which is evil, be afraid, for He beareth not the sword in vain, for He is the minister of God, or avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, to governmental leadership of us. So pray for our government that God leads us in the right direction. And these are, I guess, I don't want to say troublesome times, but certainly people try to make it out that these are troubling times, and we should pray for our government. Okay, so what else can we do? Pray, yes. Attend church. Be here. Support one another. Pray for one another. That's what God created the church for. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We should be here to support each other. Bless their heart, come to me and say, hey, pray for me for this. Done. Gotcha. I'll be happy to pray for you. At the pastor, of course, people come to me, pray for me, of course, they'll pray for me. That's a great reliever of stress, you know, somebody's praying for you. And so that we should be there to support one another all the time. We can and should enjoy the singing and fellowship and the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Maybe not all Sunday school lessons, but certainly the preaching of God's Word. This is where you laugh. When we have singing, and Brother John's up there leading singing, he's got a smile this wide. I mean, how can you help but not smile back? I mean, come on. And so that singing and that joining one another is a great help to us all. And Christmas trees are up in July. I mean, that's a beautiful sight. And we should enjoy that and help us relieve our stress. We should get involved in assisting youth and the senior members of our church. The youth, we're teaching Sunday school, teaching Wednesdays a couple of times. And we love teaching the kids. And they're fun. And my wife is great at that. She does all kinds of arts and crafts. She's got... We got a flower that's got Bible verse on it, petals. She's got all kinds of stuff. She's good at that. She's taught me a lot. And so getting involved in that, helping the youth of our church, helping all of our church. So would I say that you're not going to see in heaven no name tags? No, I forgot your name. No dental exams. I had one this week. No dental exams, annual checkup shots or prescriptions in heaven. And no driving anywhere. You don't have to worry about it anymore. In closing, real quick. Good news article that I saw that I think you want to hear about. In June 2021, Jocelyn Carlson graduated from high school just 2 days after her father was tragically killed in a shooting at his fire station. To honor his memory, she wore his firefighter's jacket at the graduation. The ceremony was attended by over 300 firefighters from across the state. Dressed in black, who showed their support for Jocelyn and her family, they stood at attention as the family arrived, and when Jocelyn's name was called, their cheers and applause were resounding. A close friend of her father also escorted her across the stage. Did it make the news? Not hardly. I had to look this one up. But these kinds of good things happen all the time. We should praise God for them. So find ways to relieve your stress, biblical ways. God has provided those for us. And as you go forward in your life, seek to focus on things of above and not on things below. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,